Listen now, I have an announcement for you before I preach, but before the announcement, I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 1, and then after you find Matthew chapter 1, I'd like you to flip a few pages and find John chapter 1. So that's how we're going to do this. I got an announcement, but before that, I want you to find Matthew 1, John chapter 1. Pastor mentioned briefly about the kids service that's happening on December the 16th, which is next Sunday. And we have how many services that week? We got one, yeah. 10 o'clock service, kids. The following Sunday is December 23rd. We also have one service. What time is it? 10 o'clock. And on that Sunday, we've designed after that service what we're calling a Christmas after party. And we want to... As we come into the service, you'll see some things that are set up and some decorations that might be a little bit different. And the woohoos I heard are kind of the atmosphere that we're looking for. We want to set up some time. We've got some stations that'll be set up, some activities that are going on, some things that will be present that will hopefully trigger some memories around Christmas. Hopefully they're good ones. Trigger some good memories around Christmas. Kind of bring back some of that nostalgic feeling out in the foyer. A couple of things we're going to do. Kids are going to be able to decorate those Christmas cookies. I don't know how many of that was a tradition in your house, but it wasn't my parents, and so they're going to decorate some cookies. There's going to be a spot where some couples are going to be reading the Christmas story to families that want to just sit and get away from the chaos a little bit and take in the reason why we celebrate Christmas and listen to that Christmas story. We're going to have an open fire pit outside where you're going to have an opportunity to make some s'mores. We're going to bring, I don't know if John Durr knows it yet, but we're borrowing his truck, and we're going to put a Christmas tree in the back and one of his old trucks. I think they're almost as old as he is, but anyway. We're going to have that set up for some photos. We got a lot of things planned, and this is what we want. We just want 9 o'clock service is coming together with 10:30 service, and it's going to be a great opportunity to revive some relationships, create some new relationships, but just carry the atmosphere of what makes Landmark Landmark out into that after party when that service is done. Lots of stuff to do, but more than anything, opportunity for us to encourage each other, love on one another, and just have a great, great time. So you'll hear a little bit more about that if you follow us on social media. Facebook, we'll be posting some things there so you can see what's happening. And we just have a wonderful thing planned for you on the 23rd. So I hope that you are there. I hope you can commit to be there. Invite somebody. Invite the neighbor you like. Invite the neighbor you don't like. Invite the friend or invite the family member that is easy to like, and invite, well, maybe don't invite that family member that's not easy to like. I don't know. But invite somebody, bring somebody with you. We're going to celebrate a Jesus that day, and we're going to celebrate each other afterwards. Does that sound like a good plan to somebody out there besides me? Amen. So that's what we're going to look forward to on the 23rd. Right now, though, I'm going to share a message with you. The Lord has given me a word for us this morning, and I want to do my best to deliver that to us today. So I'd invite you to stand with me this morning as we read the word of the Lord together. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. This is the second of two messages around the theme, Emmanuel, God is with us. Somebody say amen. Emmanuel, God is with us. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Turn the pages over to John chapter 1. We're going to read verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Pray with me. Jesus, we love you today. That is the cry, the declaration of our heart by faith. We love you today. We have had opportunity this morning to worship with one another and to pray with each other for our needs and for the needs of others. We've had opportunity also to give with each other to a like cause, the kingdom of cause. We've had opportunity to encourage each other and to greet one another. And now we have opportunity to dive into the Word of God together. So I pray that you would allow our heart to sense the pulling of the Holy Ghost into His powerful living Word. God, I pray that through that Holy Spirit, you would speak to us today. that you would give us ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. And as we hear that, God, would you help our minds be able to decipher and comprehend what your Spirit is saying? As we hear and as we comprehend, I pray that word would find its way deep into the depths of our heart and our soul. And as it sinks to the depths of who we are, God, I pray that it would find fertile soil so that that word could be planted, that it would be rooted, and that it would grow, and that it would produce life in our lives and the lives of those around us. Finally, as we hear these things, God, would you give us courage? Courage to be who you've asked us to be. And courage to do what you've asked us to do. We thank you by faith that you will do all of these things in Jesus' name. Can somebody say amen to some of that this morning? Amen. Amen. You may be seated today. Emmanuel, God is with us. This is the second half of this series. Last week, just a brief recap. Last week we introduced the concept of Emmanuel, God with us. Last week was the very first Sunday of Advent, Advent Sunday, the first of four Sundays leading up to the Advent of Christ, or as some of us call it, Christmas. The first Sunday of Advent projects and reminds us that there was hope in the prophet's voice, the prophet Isaiah that spoke of one who was coming, who would be God with us. But as I pointed out last week, to understand God with us, we need to first understand that God is for us, right? God is for us. And so last week we spent some time talking about the fact, and it is a fact, that God is for us. And that because he is for us, he has chosen to be with us. And because he is for us and chosen to be with us, he is also in us. And last week we ended with the great declaration, the great benediction from Paul in Romans chapter 8. And it ends this way: if God is for us, come on somebody, who can be against us? Hallelujah. And that's where we left it last week, because we knew by faith that God was for us. And God proves that in the fact that he is faithful. As faithful as the sunrise and the sunset, God is faithful. God is for us. Now, I'm going to pause right there for just a minute, because like last week, the quality of my message is not based on how much you respond. My dad taught me to preach for an audience of one, and I'm going to do my best to be faithful to the word he's put in my heart. However, we have reason to be a little bit excited about Advent season. We have a little bit to get excited about because it's Christmas. And the lights remind us of that, and the trees remind us of that, and the carols remind us of that, and the weather reminds us of that. But at the base of all of that is Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God who is with us. And so I'm going to invite you to get excited with me as we journey through this message this morning. Okay? All right. I had to do this same thing with first service. You guys are responding so much better. You know pastors just say that, right? We beat up second service just like we beat up first service. No. I'm not kidding, but anyway. Emmanuel, God is with us. It is an incredible thing to wrap our head around. This week we're going to cover two things. Last week we talked about Emmanuel, God with us. This week we're going to talk about, or God for us last week. This week we're going to talk about God with us. And because God is for us, God is with us, and because God is with us, God has promised to be in us. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Dude, am I looking at some people that realize that I just can't do this all by myself? Am I looking at some people that realize that when I try to do it by myself, I'm really, really good at doing bad? There's a Christmas song. I won't sing it for you, but the words go, it feels so good to be bad. Sometimes I relate. It is a Christmas song, and it's one that's not banned. Anyway, let's not go there. I'm really, really good at being bad. if I'm left to my own strength and my own vices. That's why God says, I'm not going to stop with being for you. I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to be in you. So, God with us. Matthew 1:23. Let's read it again. Matthew 1:23. God with us. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means, say it with me, God with us. If we bump up a couple verses before that, we read in Matthew 1:21 where it says, she will give birth to a son, and the angel says to Joseph, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save the people from their sins. If we bump over a few books to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verse 21, it says, on the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, the baby Jesus, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was even conceived. Bouncing back now to Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, we're going to read it again. The virgin will be with child, will give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So he's given two names. Two names are referenced here in Scripture. Jesus is the Greek form of Joshua, which means, literally, the Lord saves. And so Jesus means the Lord saves. Emmanuel, as we've come to learn, means God with us. And so very literally, when it comes to the embodiment of Jesus, we have this name Jesus that means the Lord will save. And it says in Scripture, you will call his name Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sin. He is quite literally the God, Jesus, who came to save humanity from their sin. And he is given the name Emmanuel, for they will call him Emmanuel. His reputation will determine the name that is given him. The fact that he heals the sick and raises the dead and do all of those wonderful, miraculous things, they will call him Emmanuel, which means, say it with me, God with us. Jesus means the Lord saves. Emmanuel means God is with us. Let's talk about the goat. The what? The GOAT. The GOAT is an acronym that in the sports world, if you follow any kind of sports conversations, you will hear conversations revolving around the GOAT. They'll talk about Bill Russell. They'll talk about Michael Jordan. They'll talk about Kobe. They'll talk about LeBron James. And all of them will kind of reference around the GOAT. They'll talk about guys like Ozzie Smith, the great shortstop for the Cardinals. They'll talk about other favorites and extremely, Willie Mays and Babe Ruth. And all of that stuff will revolve around the GOAT. What the GOAT is an acronym that stands for greatest of all time. And so you'll have this conversation around Michael Jordan and LeBron James and Kobe Bryant. Who is the greatest of all times? Well, does rings matter? I hear this argument all the time from my son Tyler when he's talking about sports with stuff and basketball specifically. Do rings matter? We can't have the conversation if rings matter or don't matter. Greatest of all time. In 1958... renowned mathematics and astronomy professor Peter Stoner studied and calculated the chances of the fulfillment of messianic prophecies. He concluded that the probability of even 8 of the 108 prophecies given about Jesus coming to pass is, conservatively speaking, 1 in 100 quadrillion. I didn't even know that was a number. He proved that 8 out of 108 messianic prophecies, if just 8 Jesus fulfilled, it would have met a 1 to 100 quadrillion odds. That number is a 1 followed by 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 17 zeros. One and then 17 zeros. That's a quadrillion. If Jesus would have just fulfilled 8 out of the 108, that would have been 1 in 100 quadrillion odds. Jesus fulfilled all 108 prophecies about the Messiah. And it wasn't just a guess. He followed them to a T, as we say in our English language. In the Hebrew, in the Aramaic, they said he didn't miss a jot or a tittle when it came to the messianic prophecy. Think about that. All 108. This makes Advent arguably one of the most, maybe the most significant miracles in all of history. So let's talk about the greatest of all time. Let's talk about the goat who is Jesus Christ, the absolute greatest of all time. Why is this relevant? Let's talk about relevance. Let's jump into relevance. Why is this even important? Why is it relevant? Why is the information relevant? Why is the story relevant? Why is it important to us beyond Advent? Why is it relevant and important to us beyond Christmas or beyond any other Christian holiday for that matter? Why is it important to consider what Jesus did? I hope you see this up on the screen. I hope you can read it with me. If not, I'll read it to you. When Jesus came to earth, he came to lead a broken world to a place where we could be made whole again. That is why it's relevant. When Jesus came to earth, outside of the probability of 8 out of 108, let alone all 108 out of 108 prophecies, why did he come? When Jesus came to earth, he came to lead a broken world to a place where we could be made whole again. Now, I don't know what you see when you look up here, but I know what I see when I look out there. And I see a bunch of screwed up individuals who are messed up. Thank you. And you could say the same about me. Come on, somebody. I mentioned it earlier. We are really, really good at being bad. We are really good at messing this thing up. And we all came from broken, hurting, messed up places. And God still chose to come and be Emmanuel, God with us. God is for us, God that with us, God that would fill us, even in our ruined, broken, miserable state. God still said, I'm going to come and be Emmanuel to humanity, because he came to lead a broken world to a place where we could be made whole again. You know what else I see when I look at all you messed up, screwed up people? I see lives changed by Jesus. Come on, come on. I see lives changed by Jesus. I see hearts mended by Jesus. I see wounds being healed by Jesus. I see in action what it means for Emmanuel, God, to be with us. Paul would say it best, it is by grace that we are saved, not by works lest any man should boast, but we are saved by his amazing, amazing grace. Can somebody say amen? That is a result of God with us. Interesting observation. Jesus, Emmanuel, came to be God with us. Very, very literally, in the literal sense of that word, God incarnate in the flesh, perfectly God, 100% man, God with us. He came. He was in the mix. He was with us to every single degree and not excluded from anything that humanity was subjected to. And part of his coming was to bring relief, immediate, observable relief. We will see in reading and studying the Gospels that Jesus would plainly fulfill the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 through 3. We have some time. Let's turn there. Isaiah chapter 61. verses 1 through 3. I'll give you a second to find that. I believe it'll be on the screen too for us in just a moment. Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. The prophet Isaiah would say this about the Messiah. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. In Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 21, Jesus will read the very words of Isaiah chapter 61. Imagine with me that Jesus the Messiah, the teacher, the healer, his fame is beginning to spread, his name is beginning to be known, and he walks into that synagogue. And as he walks in, he's surrounded by Pharisees, teachers of the law, Sadducees, people surrounding him, getting close enough to him, just to hear the teacher speak, just to hear Jesus speak. And he grabs the scroll of Isaiah from the attendant, and he doesn't even have to think about it. He just rolls it open to exactly where Isaiah, as we know it, would be chapter 61 would be. And he begins to read those words. He begins to read, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me." He reads in the hearing of all his listeners, "Because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news." Imagine Jesus saying this in that moment. "He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, to communicate and articulate in such a way that was piercing the heart of every single person that was hearing the words from his mouth, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor," and they would think about what that would mean. "To comfort all who mourn," and there would be hurting ones in there that they would say, "I need Jesus to comfort me," and on we could go. And then he would stop and he would say this: "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." The Bible says that the people were amazed at his teaching. Jesus will go on to preach the good news. Jesus will go on to heal the brokenhearted. He will proclaim freedom for the captives. He will release prisoners from darkness. He will comfort those who are mourning. He will bring gladness and joy and relief. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, absolutely came to bring immediate relief to humanity. He brought right now help and healing from things that were binding and hurtful and damaging across all spectrums of life. The physical, the emotional, the psychological, the religious, the cultural, the political, etc., etc., and on it could go. Jesus came to bring immediate, observable relief to all of those things. And as we journey through the Gospels, we see that over and over and over again. But he also came to bring long-term resolution. And I chose that word on purpose. Jesus came to bring long-term resolution on an eternal spectrum. He came to bring resolution to the real problem with humanity. Oh, he came to heal all of the surface things. He came to heal the lame and the blind. He came to raise the dead. He came to touch the widows in their time of need. He came to comfort the orphans in their time of need. He came across all of those things to heal the demoniac, to heal the mental, emotional. He came to counter the religious anguish that was happening. He came to counter the cultural paradigm that was there. But he came, even more so, he came to touch the eternal spectrum, because the real issue, the real pain of humanity is separation from God. Why did he come as Emmanuel, God with us? Because that is the fundamental problem. The fundamental problem is that we as humanity are separated from God, and the vicious, sinful nature that the enemy sicks on us like a rabid dog is attacking us constantly, and we are ravaged by the wages of sin, which is death. That is fundamentally the problem. That's why he came. He is for us, absolutely. He will fight for us, absolutely. But in addition to that, he has come to be Emmanuel, God with us. Us to solve the real problem, and the real problem is separation and sin and anguish and turmoil. That is why this is so relevant. That is why this is so powerful, because he came to change the eternal spectrum, and that can't be changed by anybody else. So again, why is this relevant? Because God still longs to be with us today. Post-Advent, post-Christmas, past the Advent season, past the Christmas celebration, he still longs to heal across every spectrum of life. Hallelujah. He wants to be in the hurt. He wants to be in the struggle. He wants to be in the tension. He wants to be in the rejoicing and the celebration. He's not afraid of any of that. His desire is still to be with us. And Christmas reminds us that God is still Emmanuel, God with us. And it doesn't stop there. Come on, somebody. It doesn't stop there. God is for us. God is with us. And God is in us. If you think I haven't been excited up to now, I'm about ready to get really excited. Because this is the game changer. This is the moment that changed everything when God said, I am God for you, I am God with you. Oh, but I'm going to send somebody else. And he's going to fill you, and he's going to empower you, and he's going to strengthen you, and he's going to speak truth to you. He is the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. It doesn't stop. It doesn't stop with God with us. Jesus himself would say in John chapter 14, verse 16, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. Capital S, Spirit of Truth. In verse 17 of the same chapter, John 14, it says, but you know him, he lives with you, and he will be in you. In verse 18, it says, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. John 14, 5 through 16, in the context of that, I want to invite you to read through that later, but they have a conversation with the disciples, but it ends like this. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. It is good for you that I am going away, because unless I go, the counselor, the Holy Ghost, will not come to you. But if I go, that's going to trigger the movement. That's going to trigger the sending. And the sending is the Holy Ghost. The sending is the counselor. The sending is the Spirit of God. And when I go, that will start in motion the next phase of the game, the next phase of the plan, and that is the one that will be with you forever and ever and ever. He will never stop speaking truth. He will never stop bringing comfort. He will never stop releasing his power. It is the Holy Ghost of God that is coming when I leave. It is God in us. We move now to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. Again, I want to invite you to read this in context on your own time, but we're talking about the coming of the Holy Ghost, talking about the Spirit of God. Acts 2, 1 through 21, pieces of that say when the day of Pentecost had come, Jesus had died, he had resurrected, he had now ascended up into heaven, and he said, you go into Jerusalem and you pray for the Comforter to come. You pray for the next phase of the plan to come into play. And so that is what they were doing. And the Bible says that they were all gathered in one accord. They were gathered together in the upper room, and suddenly a mighty wind came, cloven tongues of fire began to appear above their heads. And the Spirit began to release something inside of them, and they began to speak in words that they didn't understand. They began to speak in languages that they couldn't interpret. They began to utter things that they had no concept of what they were uttering. People would walk by and say terrible things like, you guys are drunk, what are you doing? You guys are freaking out, what are you doing? You guys are scaring me, what are you doing? You guys are speaking stuff you don't even, wait a minute, you're speaking about the great things of God. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost came. The Holy Ghost came in power. He came with a wind. He came with a fire. And his whole job was to proclaim the greatness and the glory of Jesus Christ, who is God for us, God with us, and now he would be God in us. Oh, baby. Oh, baby. God in us. Peter would go on to say, he would go on to address the crowd, and he would say, these are not drunk as you suppose, but this is the Holy Ghost. This is what the prophet Joel talked about when he said, in that day, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters, all flesh. Interesting right there, another observation. I will pour out my Spirit, capital S. Catch that. Catch that. I will pour out my Spirit, capital S, not because it's a what, because it's a who. Joel wasn't prophesying. Peter wasn't saying, I'm just going to pour out something on you. I'm not going to pour out a thing. I'm not going to pour out a movement. I'm not going to pour out a revival. I'm going to pour out my very Spirit on you. And that Spirit has a name. It is God, the Holy Ghost. God, the very Spirit side of God that searches and understands the heart of God. The person of Jesus Christ, the person of the Holy Ghost is what was poured out on that day. They didn't just receive tongues. They didn't just receive languages they couldn't understand. They received the person of the Holy Ghost, who said God was for you, God was with you in Jesus, and now it is my turn to come and fill you with the person of the Holy Ghost, to fill you with the power of the Holy Ghost. This is the next phase in the plan. This is the next step in the revival, because it all comes back to Jesus. It all comes back to the Holy Ghost. You remember, I know, Jesus died. He was on the cross. He gave up the ghost, the word says, and in a moment, that temple veil was rent in two. That temple veil that separated the most holy place from all of the other places. That place where God's presence came and was only reserved for a select few. God said, it is time now. Jesus has paid the price. You can't keep the Holy Ghost in a box any longer. Baby, I'm ripping the curtain. Baby, I'm coming out. Baby, I'm being released by the Spirit of God, and I will pour out myself on all flesh. If the holiest of holies couldn't hold the Holy Ghost, then why are we thinking that anything else can hold the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost has come. The Holy Ghost is here. The Holy Ghost is in us. It is a piece of Advent. A piece of Christmas. It is why we do what we do. It is why we can stand when it's so hard to stand, because John 14 says, I will be with you forever. God was ushering in a brand new era. He was paving the way for something grand and something marvelous and something spectacular. He was paving the way to speak in the words of the prophets. He was paving the way in the wilderness of broken humanity, Isaiah 43 says. He was paving a road into the hearts of men and women. He was doing a new thing, as Isaiah would say, making a way in the desert, carving streams in the wasteland of humanity. God was paving the road one stone at a time, and he would start with a stone that the builders rejected, Psalm 118:22. He would start with something that was rejected by men, but God saw it as a precious cornerstone, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. The primary foundation stone, the primary cornerstone. He would say of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. People would say that he was Jesus, Emmanuel, the one who came to save us from our sins, the one who is with us. They would call him Jesus because he would save us from our sin. They would call him Emmanuel because he chose to be with us. Why? Why? Why did he come? Why did he come? He came because he loved. He came because he loved. He came because the fullness of time had come. He came because the time was right. He came because I mattered to him. He came because you mattered to him. He came because even in our brokenness and our stupidity and our foolishness, he came because he still loves humanity. He loved humanity then, he loves humanity now, and he will love humanity tomorrow and forever and ever he will love us. That is why he came. Part of what I'm going to read, I believe in the heart, in the very heart of who I am, that this is a word for somebody this morning. It's embedded into the message. Why did he come? He came to save. For some of you this morning, you need to latch onto this. He came because we get tired. Because we get tired of fighting. Tired of racing to the wall to prevent yet another attack of the enemy. We get tired and it seems like there is no reprieve in sight. The battle rages and the temptations seem to creep into any exposed crack in the wall. Just like water seeps into any little crack or hole, you find yourself running ragged to keep the wall from a full-blown breach, from a full-blown failure. He came because there are times when giving up is so much easier than pressing in. He came for times when giving up is easier than armoring up. When settling is more attractive than striving, when quitting is easier than fighting, that's why Jesus came. That's why he paved the way for the Holy Ghost. That is why he died. That's why he rose. That's why he defeated death, hell, and the grave. That's why he set captives free. That's why he chose to make his dwelling among us. That's why he chose to be Emmanuel, God with us, because he knew we could never do it on our own. You are why he came. He is God for us, God with us, God in us. To me, this is a perfect example of the triune nature of God. It reveals the Trinity in its full effect. God the Father, God for us. God the Son, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, and God the Holy Spirit, God in us. Stand with me this morning. We're going to close with a benediction straight from Isaiah chapter 9. Sharina stole it from me earlier, but I'm going to read it out of a different version so it's better. It's one of my favorites at Christmas time. I hope it helps us as we tie this thing up. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forevermore. And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. God for us, God with us, God in us. I pray that sticks with you far beyond the season of Advent or the day of Christmas. It's life-changing. Jesus, we love you. We're so thankful for today, what you've spoken to us, what you've revealed to us, how you've strengthened us and empowered and encouraged us. I pray we would carry the heart of this message every single place we go. You are absolutely the beautiful God that is for us, the God that is with us, and the God, praise Jesus, that is inside of us. Thank you, God, for your power, this message, and these people. In Jesus' name, can you agree with me this morning and say amen? Amen. Hey, I am, hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a clap. Give the Lord a hand. I am really, really glad you came to church today. And I'd be really, really glad if you love on somebody on your way out.